This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning into the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. And, of course, I'm your host for the day, Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. And we are back again with another segment with Joshua Nybo. He's a writer. He's a veteran. He's working on starting a web series to go along with his articles and commentary. He's trying to bring conservatism and biblical principles back into the realm so we can fight the left properly and not like the left is trying to fight us. And that's one of the things that we were just talking about. We were just talking about why the left continues to lose and what it is that we should do. Should we fight them tooth and nail, or should we just let them implode and let the world see them for what they are? We were just talking about pre-World War II Germany. Let's get back to that.
So pre-World War II Germany, you had as I was saying, a number of private political armies. Each party had its own associated militia. The Brown Church, famously, for the Nazis. Antifa was for the communists. It was one of a number of groups for the commies. The Reichsbanner for the Social Democrats. I don't remember all of them by name, but every party had one. There was like 13 major parties. So you can imagine the chaos. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're there yet, but that was basically setting up a situation in which there was democracy couldn't function. Representative government was being continuously short-circuited by the fact that anytime people try to speak or have discourse in a civil way, one of the other parties, thugs, would come and cause trouble. And like I said, the major loser in all of this conflict in the 20s and early 30s was the average German shopkeeper, the average German worker, the average German everything, because it was on their property, it was in their streets, and sometimes spilling into their homes, into their churches, etc. This back and forth political fighting. And the reason why it's hard to remember some of the names of these political armies was because of exactly what I don't want to have happen here, which is that there's so many of them engaging in essentially the same thing. Even the good guys, even the people who aren't communists and Nazis,
right,
that they kind of blur together. And that's exactly what I don't want to have happen, for them to blur together in context of Antifa versus basically everyone else. Because Antifa views themselves as having a license to break the law and be violent because they view pretty much everyone that is not them as fascist, and that they paint everyone with the colors of the neo-Nazi movement, the alt-right, etc. And the only time I've ever seen them actually protesting or engaging with real Nazis, real fascists, as their name seems to imply they'd be all about, was Charlottesville. That was the one time in all of the violence we've seen since the election and during the election.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the mainstream media has a monopoly on the narrative. So of course the Antifa folks are going to be upheld, they're going to be promoted, they're going to be supported, they're not going to be rebuked in any way. And any time that you see a conservative fart the wrong way, and just so you know, as a disclaimer, I do not call white supremacists and Nazis conservative. They're exactly the opposite. To me, Antifa and white supremacists battling it out just looks like a bunch of communists, a bunch of socialist communist people battling it out with each other. They're anything but right wing, if you were to ask me. But the mainstream media's monopoly on the narrative has made it so that we conservatives are always under a microscope. We are always under scrutiny. If a conservative farts the wrong way or breathes the wrong way, if Donald Trump has Russian dressing on his salad or says broski to one of his friends, he is colluding with Russia. How do we fight the narrative without, like you said, we shouldn't be punching back because we are under this microscope and we are basically in front of the world. Anytime something happens on this side, it's going to be exaggerated. It's going to be made into a bigger deal. It's going to be made to seem like a bigger endemic institutional problem than it actually is. So without fighting back physically, how else are we going to fight this? You know, I mean, it seems like David and Goliath kind of a situation because, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to take the narrative back?
Well, I think it's important to remember that, one, that Antifa has about as much power and influence as the National Socialist Movement, which is the neo-Nazis, that they, this, even though they're dramatic and they're on TV, it's like they're not at a point where we're in an existential threat yet. So far, we're still at the level where the police and the army can't handle them. And I think that you're right, we're under the microscope, but the thing is that remember that we've also, like the conservatives, we've always claimed all along that we're the moral high ground, that we're the true Americans, that we're the real patriots, and that we're the common sense people who can balance a budget, who know basically what's best for America. That's been our line, and that the Democrats are a bunch of pie-in-the-sky idiots, so on and so forth. And I think that this is going with doing the right thing is going to, I mean, I don't think you should expect to be thanked for it in the sense that, yeah, it's going to be a crappy job being the one taking the hits. But I think that for the sake of America that we claim to love first and foremost, maybe that's a hit I'm personally willing to take. And as far as how we're going to fight them, I think that the best way is to do what I was suggesting earlier, which was with cameras, that CNN might try to spin everything against them, but it's very hard to argue with video footage of someone assaulting someone who isn't fighting back with a bike lock or something like that. That's the kind of thing that we can use to help paint the picture of the real Antifa. That's something that we can use, especially during the election time. I mean, if a violence happens in a particular city and a Democrat's running for office, and they haven't distanced themselves from Antifa, and yet we have video footage of Antifa assaulting citizens in their jurisdiction, I mean, you can see where the attack ads write themselves. I mean, this is right. Something you can nail into the crossover again and again and again. And I think that will be a part of a strategy where, yes, it's involving a sacrifice for us, but, you know, speaking to, to the conservatives, to those who are veterans in the audience, that's a sacrifice we've already said we would be willing to make, and this is now it's time to ante up that if more is asked, then more we will give for the sake of America, for the sake of this country, for the sake of not allowing ourselves to be drawn into a tit for tat.
And I think you're absolutely right about this. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Joshua Nybo. He's a commentator, he's a writer, he's a veteran. We'll be right back.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177, or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, A Book of Hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all too familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road, and I know it. The best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville, can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are again tuning into the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. We are in the middle of the third hour. We are talking with Joshua Nybo. He is a veteran. He's a writer. He's been working on starting a web series to go along with his articles and commentary to return the grand old party to its roots. And we were just talking about Antifa, what it is that conservatives can do to fight Antifa without stooping down to their level. We were just talking about how Antifa is a terrorist group, not to the point of ISIS, but I mean, they all wear masks. They have a lot of similarities, to be honest. And we're talking about how to fight that. Let's get back into it, Joshua.
Yeah, thanks. The as far as, like I said, the best way to fight them is right now with cameras, with self-sacrifice, and with leading by example of what kind of discourse we want in America. We want an America that engages in talking, that has free assembly, that can wave its flags and, you know, hold its signs and, you know, say what it pleases without coming to blows. If they want to try and spoil that, I don't think we should let them. I think that we should remember that we are the party that is trying to uphold the rule of law and everything from immigration to crime and punishment in other areas as well. And I think that part of that means that it's on us to remember that even if these people have forgotten that they're dealing with other citizens, not fascists, we need to remember that we are dealing with other citizens, and that as such, there is no moral call for vigilantism, and that right. So long as the police and the army remain capable of handling them, that should be a resort, not taking it into our own hands. And I understand that that's not the emotionally satisfying answer, and there's definitely been a lot of controversy, and a lot of people disagreeing with me, and a lot of people saying crush Antifa with Crusader memes, but the thing is that like crush them how? Are we going to start doing the same thing? And I think that America is watching, and CNN and MSNBC might be trying to paint a different picture, but they don't actually speak for all of America. And again, they can't argue with things like just straight up video footage. That's the sort of thing that they really can't spin. And if they won't even run it, you better believe Fox and others will, and you better believe that that's the kind of thing that will get shared around on Facebook.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think that's definitely one way to go about it. But, you know, Donald Trump getting elected, it seemed like everything was going to, you know, it was a big step in the right direction, electing Donald Trump, I believe. But I don't think that the battle is over. There is so much up. There is so much of an uphill battle that we are fighting right now, because the tendency is so strong to basically paint everyone as Nazis, as bigots, as racists. And if you can convince someone that because somebody thinks a certain way that they're actually engaging in violence because of what they think, then more and more and more Americans are going to be okay with that kind of violence. Punch a Nazi. When is it okay to punch a Nazi? How did that even become a question here in America? When is it okay to punch a Nazi? And, you know, like you said, I get the emotional response, you know, wanting to fight for justice, fight for social justice, and, you know, wanting to get rid of, you know, bad ideas and stuff like that. But I think the best way to go about it, the best way to go about getting rid of bad ideas is to let them, you know, this is a conservative thing, is to let them speak their bad ideas so we can get a good strong whiff of how awful and terrible it is. But since the mainstream media is so in the can for these Antifa folks, you know, even the mainstream media, I mean, this is irony for you, the mainstream media supporting a group that doesn't support free speech. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But you know, a lot of folks think that if we don't actually fight back in some way, then it is going to have deleterious consequences in the future. And, you know, I totally agree with you in the way that we shouldn't be going around and, like, burning people. You know, we shouldn't, you know, the torches and pitchforks and all that stuff. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be doing what they're doing. But but something deep down inside makes me worries me that we should all be prepared for something bigger.
Well, I think that we should always be prepared for something bigger, especially because, like you say, that there's like a bigger fight even after the election of Trump. Well, I think that the fight will never actually end. That we're fighting a monster with many heads, and like the mythical Hydra, they'll just keep regrowing until the end of time. Issues like Antifa, in some form or other, will always be with us, and I think that. Instead of worrying that, are we letting them overrun America, I think that we should, again, take a step back and breathe and remember, okay, well, they're not in a position to overrun anything right now. They're just really noisy in front of the cameras. They get a lot of attention. But they're not in a position yet to force change. And I think that, like, what you were talking about as far as, yeah, like, the mainstream media has been silent, that's one of the issues that it doesn't get as much media attention, but people do notice that there is a difference, that we disown our extremists. They don't. That we refuse to engage in violence. And if you're taking my advice, even if they are, then, you know, it's, like I said, it's drawing a bigger and bigger line between us and them. And I think that it's also useful to remember that there are a lot of center-left Democrats who are liberal but not necessarily progressive, not necessarily hardcore Antifa, who aren't going around telling people to mind their pronouns. And there are Democrats, like I said, I mean, it might sound shocking, but there are Democrats who are less hardcore, who don't really support Antifa, who don't actually want to see violence. This is the I think probably the majority of Americans was people just to the left or just to the right of that middle line, the middle line as defined by American context. And I think it's important for us to help reach out to them and remind them that, you know, we still consider them Americans and that we want them to be on board, since they might disagree with us on some issues, but again, they're not like the hardcore social justice left. They're not, you know, hammer and sickle waving, car burning street thugs. And to try to detach them from Antifa, to try to help as much as we can the center and the more moderate liberals to distance themselves the same way we did for the alt-right, to show them that you're being lumped in with this group and they're trying to speak for you. Is this what you stand for? And for the most part, most people don't really stand for street violence.
Of course.
When you put the question to them. So it's like, yeah, I think that it's also important for us to try and remember that as much as possible, we should be trying to put a wedge between Antifa and the rest of the left, since Antifa's methods are actually quite controversial. Like, I know personally quite a few Democrats who are not a big fan of Antifa, and I think that we should try to capitalize that. And instead of painting all of them with the colors of the most extreme branch, the way that sometimes the liberal media does with us, and saying, trying to imply basically that all of us are a bunch of Klansmen waving swastikas around.
Right.
I think that we should try to show them that we are more
reasonable,
nuanced, that we're more reasonable, that we're more willing to accept that there are gradiences, that there's different shades, and that not all of them are the same, and to try to reach out to the ones that maybe might be as disgusted with this as we are.
I think you're absolutely right. Joshua Nybo, thank you so much for joining the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I'm the Disgruntled Millennial. Get me at Jack General. We'll be right back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
$1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I am Brett Siegel, subbing in for the great Kevin Jackson while he's out into the world, triggering liberals, triggering leftists with his blackness and his views on race. They hate him for that. They hate Kevin Jackson because he always calls them out on their BS. And I get a little bit of a residual credibility because I work for the guy. Oftentimes I'll hear from a liberal, "You Nazi racist bigot." And my eyes just roll to the back of my head because, I mean, come on. A black man employs me. A black man is my boss. How does that figure into your racist white supremacist world? Is it my white privilege that I get to work for a black man? See, I don't see Kevin Jackson as a black man. I see him as a man. I see him as a human being. I see him as an American. I see him as a patriot. I see him as a conservative. What matters to me is his ideology. DeRay McKesson, one of the proponents of Black Lives Matter, a race-baiting punk, a race-baiting intellectual thug. I mean, he's not out on the street personally doing stuff. Actually, he did get arrested one time, didn't he? Or a couple times. But intellectually speaking, DeRay McKesson is a thug, and you couldn't pay me enough money to work for him. Am I a racist? Anyway, I'm Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. You can get me at Shaq General on Twitter. That's at Shaq General. If you want to get me on Facebook, I've got several pages, the disgruntled millennial. You can pretty much check me out anywhere. I've got a podcast on iTunes. Again, if you need to send me hate mail, you can send it to Shaq General, but I always broadcast to you live from my safe space, so no matter what you send to me on Twitter, I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. Now, one of the things that you probably don't know about me, I used to be a pretty great debater in high school. It was one of those things where I was really, really proud to be one of the nerds. It's the only super duper nerdy organization in school where everyone who is in there has no idea how nerdy they are. They all think they're the coolest thing. They think they're the bee's knees, the debaters. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread. Now, what I'm talking about is policy debate. Now, there's a lot of other forms of debate, like extemporaneous debate, which is basically just acting class. You just go on and you perform a monologue. But there are two different types of debate in high school and college where people actually discuss policy. People actually discuss ethics. That's team debate or policy debate and Lincoln-Douglas debate where they debate ethics and ethical questions and stuff like that. Now, one of the things that I never really noticed, because I was 14 years old, Okay, 14 years old, just out of middle school. Didn't really know what side of the fence I was on, but I will give you a hint. I went to a public school. I was cloistered in a public school system where it was pretty much one-sided. But it was the 90s, so, you know, it wasn't as heated as things are today. It wasn't as noticeable. But there's one place that is that where you can really, really notice if you were to hone in, if you were to really look inside of the public school system. Even back then, there was one place where leftist philosophy and leftist brainwashing and propaganda was basically full force at work trying to instill the most intelligent minds in the school, which were the debaters, at least self-described most intelligent minds in the school. We usually tended towards debate. And the public school system, the national debate organization that basically decides what everybody debates on, they were full force into this propaganda, trying to basically create liberal Democrat elites of the future, starting at 14 years old. Now, the way we would debate, of course, is you would have an affirmative case and then you would have a negative case and you would debate a resolution. A resolution is a statement of, say, it's a statement of policy. Say, for example, the United States should substantially change its foreign policy towards China. Okay, and then you could have a whole bunch of, you know, affirmative cases would vary. So you might have one affirmative case that says we should create an embargo. We should sanction China. We should sanction China's one-child policy. We should sanction China on human rights. All these different policies. And then the affirmative case, the affirmative team would debate the resolution, which was that we should change our policy toward China in a certain way. And the negative team would, the opposing team, would debate why we shouldn't do that. Now, if you don't think that there is leftist propaganda going on in your public school system, let's say your kid is a part of the debate team, and your kid and you are a conservative family, what do you think it is that they're being taught? Now, every single one, I did some research, and every single one of these resolutions, these debate resolutions, are completely loaded with leftist propaganda. They beg so many questions that it almost goes against rational debate practices just to even debate these questions in the first place, because they're loaded with so much leftist propaganda. And it's really unfortunate, because people like Socrates and Aristotle would be really sad to see what our educational system has digressed to. And this is our public school system trying to brainwash the smartest of the smartest students that enter into the school. This is them trying to brainwash them. Now, I went and did some research on the full list of resolutions, because we've been debating this stuff since 1928. We've been doing these policy debates in school and college since 1928. And listen to some of these resolutions. The United States should adopt a unicameral system of legislation, right? That's the idea, that we should basically make the government a lot more centralized, that we should concentrate more power. With one House of Congress. I mean, there's almost 100 of these. Resolved, the United Nations should be revised into a federal world government. Globalism. That was 1949. There were pushes by liberal Democrats for globalism, trying to push it on our students, trying to raise our high school students to believe in globalism. In 1978, resolved that the federal government should establish a comprehensive program to regulate the healthcare system in the United States. They're already talking about universal healthcare. They're trying to propagandize our kids to believe in universal healthcare. That was 1978. Where are those high school kids now who were in high school in 1978? Do the math. They are your leaders. They are your congressmen. They are your future Supreme Court justices. 1982, resolved that the federal government should establish a minimum educational standards for elementary and secondary schools in the United States. Common Core. 1982, debaters in high school were debating Common Core. And now, high school students from 1982, what are they doing now? If you were in high school in 1982, that was about 34 years ago. And if you were in high school then, that means you're probably about 45, 50. What do you think these thought leaders are doing now? Why is it that just now we've had Common Core? It's because Common Core was brainwashed into these people back in the 80s, and they just grew up and put them and fit into the place that the government wanted them to be in. Our thought leaders, our congressmen, the people who tell us what to do. Yeah. Nothing more than social experiments gone awry. Nothing more than community organizing. Nothing more than the chickens coming home to roost. Now, as we approach the years that I was actually debating, because I did debate a couple of these resolutions, you know, they do it by year. In 1994, coming closer to the more recent past, 1994 resolved that the federal government should guarantee comprehensive health insurance to all United States citizens. Who was president at the time? Bill Clinton was president at that time. Now, when I landed up in high school, it just so happened to be in 1998. And the 1998 debate resolution for the national debate resolution that all high school students and college students who are into debate will be debating across the United States. This is the resolution in 1998. Resolved that the federal government should establish a policy to substantially increase renewable energy use in the United States. Environmentalism. Yet again, liberal Democrats, government shoving an agenda down the throats of 14-year-old kids who are bright and smart and interested in social change and politics and government and all that stuff. Now, environmentalism was shoved down my throat when I was a freshman in high school. And, you know, a lot of the affirmative cases for this resolution, because it deals with increasing the use of renewable energy in the United States. What do you think most people did? They would have affirmative cases revolving around photovoltaic cells, ethanol, wind, water, earth, power, heart. Fire, heart, sorry, not power. But you get the picture. A lot of people probably said, oh, what we need to do to substantially increase renewable energy use in the United States is to create wind turbines. And then we would debate the wind turbines. Even at that young age of 14, I was attracted to two losing affirmative cases, and you'll see why. You'll see why, even as a young, impressionable lad, I always leaned towards conservatism, or should I say, away from leftism.
Kevin Jackson
on the Black Sphere Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia Berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-496-1532. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-496-1532. That's 1-800-496-1532. 1-800-496-1532.
An end to identity politics.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Show, and this is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and patriarchy. And don't forget toxic masculinity. Today, we have been talking a lot about racism. We've been talking a lot about Antifa. And one of the things I was just talking about in the last segment was how the public school system is basically in a full-on, full-fledged attempt to brainwash our young, our the brightest of the brightest minds in the school through debate, which sort of lands up being this sort of pseudo-philosophical organization where everybody thinks that they're just the smartest people. And a lot of the times they are. But when you put a really, really smart person in the hands of the public school system, what ends up happening is that a lot of people end up becoming nincompoops. You know, the human brain is a magnificent thing, but you can wire it poorly. And that's what these schools try to do. They try to wire you in a way that is going to make you a perfect little soldier, perfect little Democrat soldier. Now, when I was in high school, one of the things that we debated, which was established by the National Debate League, that all the kids in the United States who are into debate, this is what they all debate. It was resolved that the federal government, this was 1998, resolved that the federal government should establish a policy to substantially increase renewable energy use in the United States. So when I was in high school, they were basically trying to shove environmentalism down our throats. Now, a lot of people came forward with an affirmative case that might have done, you know, increased the use of wind turbines, increased the use of hydroelectric power, increased the use of photovoltaic power. Each of these would be separate individual case, and then we'd debate the merits of each of those technologies, right? Now, one of the things that really struck me as I grew up and sort of grew into my conservatism, one of the things that struck me going back and thinking about those days was that I gravitated to two very, very unpopular affirmative cases. The first affirmative case that I was that was wildly unpopular, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you say, oh, increase the use of wind turbines, that will be, you know, that will increase the renewable energy use in the United States, therefore satisfying the resolution. A lot of people didn't necessarily think about, well, what about nanotechnology? Nanotechnology. It's one of those things that was sort of theoretical back then, but they were making big strides. And one of the things that that me and my partner decided was that nanotechnology could solve all the energy problems in the world, and it would increase the use of renewable energy. It was wildly unpopular. That was my young mind trying to project itself into the future. But a lot of people thought that it was just science fiction, it would never work. There was a lot of debate cards, a lot of counter arguments that said that nanotechnology could turn the world into a pile of goo. So we only won once in a while. But there was another case, another affirmative case that I thought was way more practical. That if we deregulation, that's what it was called, deregulation. It was like, I didn't even realize at the time, because I wasn't thinking in so many philosophical terms. I was just thinking about what was going to work. What was going to increase the use of renewable energy use. And immediately I thought, deregulation. Deregulation. If you cut away the regulations that cripple a lot of startup companies that really would put their time and energy and research into creating renewable energies, if you were to deregulate the energy market, so that people could compete, so that more inventors and thinkers could tackle the problem without all the government red tape, that naturally the free market would take hold and it would increase the use of renewable energies across the United States. Let me tell you something. People believed that the nanotechnology would work more than the deregulation. That is how crazy, insane, mentally defunct, and intellectually crippled liberals are. They think that deregulation, free, unshackling the free markets, unshackling people so that they can make what they want, do what they want, sell what they want, unshackling the people. That is more insane than science fiction. That is more insane than nanotechnology. The idea that all of our problems can be solved by these little nanites that go in and they stop disease and they give you energy and all this kind of stuff. Something that was literally science fiction was more believable than the idea that unshackling people who wanted to compete to increase the use of renewable energy, that was more outrageous. To me, that is totally unbelievable. And as I look back, I can see the making. I mean, a lot of the people who I knew from debate went into politics. They went into law. These are our thought leaders now. The people who think that it is more insane to deregulate the energy industry than it is to promote nanotechnology, a technology that could potentially turn the world into a big steaming pile of goo or turn it into a utopia. Now, one of the things that we would do in these debate rounds is that we would read really fast. You know, all the debate tournaments are timed. You only have a certain amount of time to get your case across. So very experienced debaters would speak very, very fast. I'm going to play you a little bit of one of these debaters speaking very fast because I want to show you what we have come to in 2017 in Debate Club. This is totally insane. You're going to love this. But first, let me play you a little bit of what it sounds like. A basic debate round sounds like with high school kids basically speed reading through their arguments so that they can, you know, so they can get their arguments in. This is why I think that, you know, this is really a travesty that they takes these really brilliant kids and turns them into these leftist cogs. So hang on. Let me just show you a little bit of the speed reading, and then I'll show you what we've come to in 2017. This is insane.
Increase of about a quarter of the 1% of the country GDP, nothing else to do. Set the economy in a free fall world, produce a recession, oil prices differently than... did 15 years ago technical of say up their own pipe fields. We have a solid mechanism for inflated West business goes away. Economic benefit science discovery of the United States overcome. Uses scary scenarios to shock the public, make it actually more popular. Your worst damage will be more on the link debate on the K. Also alarms to hijack.
Oh, that brings back so many good memories. This brings back so many great memories. It really does. That used to be me. I used to do that exact same thing. But we were talking about global warming and Russia, because that's just what we were talking about in the day. Now, there was at least some sort of vestige of intellectualism there. We were at least trying to be intellectual, you know, which is a lot to say for high school kids, which is a lot to say for people who were sort of young. And that was probably one of the reasons why our egos were so inflated, because at least we were trying. Some of us eventually thought, you know, ultimately after doing a couple debate rounds, we just thought we were just, the best thing since sliced bread and totally intellectually more superior than we actually were. But now people are actually doing this same form of debate, a policy debate in high school. But guess what they're debating? They're debating that white lives don't matter. Listen to this audio, and you can hear this black kid kind of trying to do the whole like speed reading thing, but he's not really achieving it very well. But it's really, really funny listening to modern day high school kids discuss why it is that white lives don't matter, and this is somehow okay.
Why do white people have a right to affirm their life?
Because all whites have that right.
Really? How? How so? Why does white life have value?
Why does white life have value? We've gone from talking about policy to talking about why white lives have... I'm sorry.
Well, I think for who? Our argument is that white life is wrong.
Why?
Our argument is that we should never affirm white life. That your argument just affirming all life in general is not good. Especially not good for black people when white life itself is based on
white life.
You're probably white.
I am white. Why should you care about my life?
I was saying, why have to care about your life anyways? There's no ethical reason as to why white people deserve to live. Affirming black life means that white death has to occur. That's why you should lose this debate and why your life ain't worth affirming.
White people don't deserve to live. Affirming black life means white death. This is why you should lose the debate and why your life ain't worth affirming. Your white life ain't worth affirming. I can't believe how far we've come. Now this kid's gonna say that this white guy in his debate class should kill himself.
Should he kill himself?
I don't see
why. Why should we do that? How does that help?
It's ethical.
How is it ethical? We all have some form or another of privilege. Why does that mean we kill ourselves?
Because you have white privilege.
Why does having white privilege necessarily mean I should kill myself? Why shouldn't I, like, struggle against the structures?
Struggling against the structure means putting yourself on the line, putting your body on the line. Do it. Affirm your suicide.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if your idea of social justice is killing an entire race of people, you're doing it wrong. We'll see you tomorrow.
Won't stop until he's the top-rated radio talk show host in America.
What kind of weird competitive freak are you?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.